with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everybody, to the Movie Night Podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined as always by my amazing co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie and then we talk about it with a special guest without doing any research ever.
Very little.
It's against the rules.
Very little. And sometimes it works out. It works out. This week, our special guest is a good friend of mine. He's one of my Roki buddies. That means karaoke.
Oh, all right. And, I did not know what that meant. Right. I was like, oh, Dwayne's having a stroke.
He's a very talented comedian, hilarious, great actor, voiceover artist, as we learned. He's in L.A. temporarily. He's here just through the winter. He rented a Nissan Sentra.
more detail.
Silver. Yeah, he didn't go cheap. He upgraded. He got the GPS, which is what you should do if you're new to the area. Please join me by not clapping because no one claps, but join me in welcoming my good friend Chris Jonesy Jones.
Jonesy, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you for having me. It's a thrill. Like Dwayne said, I'm a good friend of Dwayne's, comedian, actor, and...
I want you to repeat everything he just said, that whole tight intro.
renting a Nissan Sentra, and having a fantastic time in L.A.
Staying in Mar Vista, I believe. A lot of people don't know about it.
Right. Yeah. Mar Vista, that's like right by Venice, right? It's just a little area, though.
It's sort of like...
It's between Culver and Venice?
Yeah, the people who built L.A., they didn't want Culver City to touch Venice, so they created Mar Vista.
Yeah.
I heard somebody describe it as, you're in the ghetto Venice?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard that before?
I've heard that. I'm not sure I realized
Venice
that was
is the
Mar
ghetto
Vista.
Venice.
That's true.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of parts
there's pockets.
Of it. Yes, there
pockets.
Are large pockets. Cargo yeah. pockets.
Big pockets, yes.
Big old pockets. How you liking L.A. so far? I'm sure, you've been out here a bunch before, right?
Yeah, I've been here a few times, dipped my toe in the water, and I always have a good time when I'm out here. So, yeah, I enjoy it, and the way the winters usually run, it's good for me to be out here.
Yeah, you're normally in New York.
Yeah, normally.
Negative 85 there or some shit?
Yeah, 7 yesterday, 10 today.
You're getting, like, more snow than ever or something?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, I can't even... the winters were bad. That part of the reason why I left in the first place was they had gotten so bad. I was like, I got to get out of here. Now they just keep getting worse. Boston's got like 95 feet of snow. Just chilling in the streets.
You're from the East Coast originally?
I'm from New York.
You're from New York? Oh, wait, cool.
And I remember when I moved to Boston, because I'm from New York, but I lived in Boston a while. And see, New York, I didn't drive. I wake up, someone took care of the snow. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
In Boston, I had a car. I had to shovel it out. That was a whole... Like in Boston, just parking spaces with lawn chairs. People put lawn chairs in hold their space.
Fuck
just,
that.
Just so crazy.
Run over that lawn chair.
Can you imagine a lawn chair?
No, but they will kill you. Like if you, after they shoveled out enough space for a car to fit in, and you park in there,
I actually saw a picture of a car in Boston today that did that, and somebody spray painted the entire side of the car.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Well, don't take somebody's parking spot.
Yeah,
see? And he got off easy, that guy.
Yeah.
They're pretty hardcore.
Yeah, they're pretty hardcore.
So what's going on, Jonesy? What brings you out here? Anything in particular, or just getting away from the winter, or what?
Yeah, getting away from the winter, and doing the business side as well out here. I can do what I do here as well, so why not come out here? And I keep coming out here with the mind of maybe making it like a long term thing, and so I keep coming out here for a little longer, and this time I'll be here for like 4 months. This will be the longest, and And I can do stand-up here, and, I'm doing voiceover auditions, on-camera commercial auditions, and looking for a TV agent while I'm here.
Cool.
And,
nice.
Kind of just really getting into it and see what it's like.
Fair to say, you're out here chasing your dream.
Yeah, chasing the dream, yes.
I feel like...
it's very apropos. Yes.
I feel like that's what L.A. does, too, is it wears East Coasters down. Like, you come out... A couple of times.
Yeah.
And everybody, like every time I see a comic from New York come here for the first time, it's always that fuck LA mindset. And then slowly, like three years later, they're like, yeah, I'm going to move. I'm going to do it. I got to get out of there.
Well, Jonesy, you're doing it right because when you first come here, people always hate it. And I say, it takes 3 years if you live here, or you can do what you do. Just keep coming back till you get used to it, know where the things are and everything. It's just. It's different. Like, you're not meeting people. You're not walking down the street in L.A.
too much.
No, it's
nothing like...
And,
it's not... L.A.'s not a city in the sense of any East Coast city.
It's just a bunch of small towns kind of close together.
Yeah.
Everything is a strip mall. It's not... I mean, I know I'm not painting it in the best light.
No, it's great, but it's completely different.
But it's like a strip mall
with
super hot chicks walking around.
It's just, yeah, it's all just super hot chicks and donut shops.
That's exactly what L.A. is.
And I don't know who the fuck in L.A. is eating this many donuts that they're all open 24/7.
And they never close. Yeah, I don't get it.
They've got to all be drug fronts. That's the only explanation. It doesn't make any sense.
And if you start in the valley, if you start on Ventura Boulevard and you just drive, I've done it before when I used to live way in Tarzana, you just drive and every mile and a half, there's literally a Ralph's, a Jamba Juice, Starbucks, forget about it. There's Starbucks every half mile. But every mile, you get another supermarket, another CVS, another Jamba Juice, yeah, another McDonald's. Like the people couldn't go to the one that's two miles away.
Anything that's, yeah, but 2 miles in L.A. can be like an hour.
That's true.
You got to be able to throw a stone and hit a grocery store. You can't live there. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. So Jonesy is chasing his dream. The movie is Hoop Dreams. And I don't know what made me think of this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, it popped in my head, and I said, let's do it. Which is cool, because Jonesy, you're a big sports guy.
Yeah, I'm a big sports fan.
This is the first documentary we've done.
It's the first documentary
we've done. This is Hoop Dreams was 1994, directed by Steve James, starring Arthur Agee and William Gates, the two young guys chasing the hoop dreams. I had not seen this in the longest time.
Yeah.
And I love this movie. It's so good.
And the thing is, I we don't do that much research, but I tried to find like how accurate it is. And I looked up, I only found one article. I didn't do an extensive search, but it was like saying, they kind of nudged the narrative this way or that way. I don't think they had to work that hard to like portray certain people in a bad light. I don't think they had to work that hard to portray St. Joseph in a bad light. Like,
yeah.
I think the only thing they did is they misled the school by telling them, we're just doing this thing. So they didn't tell them what they were doing. But in terms of what really happened, I don't think they made any of that up. Like, they really gave them scholarships. They really
sort of
reneged on one. And all that stuff really happened. And it's just a tremendous movie. Like, these kids are so beyond their years in terms of, like, they're not mature beyond their years, but in terms of what they've experienced and their souls, like they're in high school, and most high schoolers don't have to deal with half of this stuff. Like,
yeah, no, it's insane, and I get the idea of a nudged narrative, though. Is like every documentary is going to feel that way, especially when something almost a little too dramatic happens, and you're like, no way.
Right.
But you got to remember, this is over the course of 5 years they shot this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
This was their entire high school career and a little bit into college. So like a lot of shit was happening that they weren't showing. There was probably a lot of boring times too,
but
it's a 3-hour documentary, but I had really forgotten. Here's what happened with me. I saw this when I was 10 years old because I absolutely loved basketball, and I heard that Hoop Dreams was like the biggest movie of the year. Everybody was talking about it. I didn't know what a documentary was. Insisted on my parents buying me the VHS of this movie.
Wow.
Sat down and watched it, and I was like, well, that is not what I thought it was. I didn't know what was going on. So I don't think I rewatched it again until I was like 20. And then realized what it was and how great it was.
Right.
Don't get this for your 10-year-old, guys.
Don't do it.
It's a little
get them the Jordan movie.
Yeah.
Yes. What do you think, Jonesy?
Well, first of all, I love it. It's a great movie, and it's I think whether you're a sports fan or not, you should. This is a real great sort of chase your dreams sort of story that, you know, I think anybody could enjoy, no matter
Absolutely.
What you're into.
It's just
as far
drama.
As it being forced or anything, I don't see how. All that stuff seemed to happen naturally. The only thing that came out of left field was like Isaiah showing up at the school, but like, you know, they probably arranged that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so,
no, but
yeah,
I think the school arranged that.
Well, maybe he goes back all the time.
Every year. Maybe he doesn't. I mean, it just seemed like, okay, of course. And the kid gets chosen to play with them. Okay. So that, I mean, other than that though, like, you know, they're not like, hey, why don't you have a baby now too? You know what I mean? Like that's, this is real life going.
Maybe they were, who knows?
You know, maybe they, so I think it happened organically, and
I think so too. I mean, all things considered, a lot of major things happened off camera too. Yeah. Sure. Like, suddenly William Gates had a kid, and then way later in the movie, they just tell you that Arthur had some kids. Yeah. But, like, there's a lot going on that I don't think they were on these families 24/7 for 5 years.
Right,
I don't think they had the means to do that. So they missed a lot. Like, you would, you know, it would skip to sophomore year, and all of a sudden the situation was completely different. And they're just like, yeah, well, you know, his father's gone now and he's buying drugs and this and that. But you don't see that transition happening.
No, no. Right, the father's gone, it just happens with the voiceover. That's like the, they're like.
Yeah. And it was crazy. The father, he's like, it's night and day with him, right? And to me, when I'm looking at the father, it seems to me that if he wants to stay straight, he's got to keep his hair short. Because if you notice.
As soon as the hair goes.
It's true. He gets it past a certain length and he just runs wild.
He's back on the crack, right?
Yeah.
But whenever he's off the crack, he's got it high and tight.
I mean, he
nice
was...
Nice sweater on, you know?
He's tough to watch, though, because he's just got that prototypical, like, addict behavior where you can tell he's just putting
he's
on
just
a front
lying.
All
yes,
the time.
Yes.
And when they're meeting with people at the schools or anything, that he's acting the way he thinks he should act in front of them, and he's very clearly not being who he is.
There was a couple people's behavior that just really... and the other one was... It was his dad, and then it was William's brother.
Oh, yeah, Curtis.
Well, the two of them, I mean...
It's just so hard to watch him.
I should say, not to be a total downer, they have both since died.
They both were killed.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
They were both murdered.
Both shot.
Both murdered.
Oh, my God.
It was a long time ago. It was early 2000s, I believe, both of them. But it is... You could exactly like you said, Jonesy, like the parallel was between those two guys. Like, you could see that, like... These two are the people in these kids' respective lives that are really kind of fucking things up for them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Arthur had to, like, they like, his mom loses a job or the dad loses his job and the welfare gets cut and they're, like, living in the dark.
Yeah.
And, like...
But that was, like...
It's like you're playing high school, you know, you're doing well, and you just go home to no lights.
And that was 3 months. Three months. But the thing is, I think part of what makes this movie so engaging is how... like how shoved down everything is. Like, that's 3 months, but you see it for 30 seconds on screen.
That's a long time to not have lights.
Or the fact that they'll transition from 1 year to another and just tell you, oh, his dad's addicted to crack now and not living with the family. And they just tell you that out of nowhere. And it's like, granted, it's a time has passed, but it feels like, holy shit, how did that just happen? And it engages you, I think. It's like, it does not feel like a three-hour movie.
No,
which you can't say about most three-hour movies.
But you know, who's my favorite... person in this movie is the coach at the city school.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
I like his jaw. Everything about him, just like,
yeah.
Well, he's like just, his mouth goes like a little bit, his lower jaw goes a little bit forward, and he's just like always telling the truth.
That guy does is spit truth. Like, and he's right about everything, every step of the way.
And it's like, you can tell he has a heart, but he's got to be hard because...
He's hardened, for sure, because he's seen too many guys.
Yeah, and he knows that, one, that's what they need. They need that tough love. And two, he can't go down that road again believing in someone.
Yeah.
So he just doesn't believe in anyone.
Well, he just straight up calls the kids out for, like, this is why you're shitty. And but you know what? It's the complete opposite with St. Joe's coach, where he's just very different in front of the kid and then even alone to the camera. It's not like he's being forced to say anything.
No.
When he, literally when the kid leaves the room, he'll say something very different to camera
than
when he just said. I'm like, oh, you're kind of a piece of
shit
there.
One leaves, another one comes back. Another one comes. That's it. That's like literally like.
Yeah.
But you know, the St. Joe's coach, he was like, now ladies, listen up. He's like the boyfriend who listens, like stares at you deep in your eyes and nods his head and is not listening to anything you say.
Yeah. No, that's
that
absolutely
guy. And it feels good, but if you asked him 5 minutes later anything, he wouldn't know not even one thing you said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they just painted him in a negative light. Like, I don't really know anything about the guy, but I just came out of that movie like, man,
no, but
you are a scumbag.
But even William said, like, he's having family trouble.
And he just didn't give a shit. Yeah.
And he said, write him off. Like, write off my family?
Write off my child?
I can't believe that he would say that, but maybe.
But, you know, it was that last scene with William.
That's a crazy thing to say. Like, how would you ever... You've got to be, like, evil to say that.
Because it boils down to there's two camps in this movie, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of camps. There's rich, there's poor, there's people with privilege, and there's people with not privilege. But there's people who think winning... is absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And then people who are trying to find some sort of perspective. And I think the coach from St. Joseph's, he's going to get along with Isaiah because Isaiah is a maniac.
He's
who kisses basketballs before shows.
Hardcore competitor.
Gets into fights with people who are 7 feet tall. Yeah,
that was his problem. His problem with William Gates was that he was not Isaiah Thomas.
Right, right. He wasn't Isaiah Thomas.
He was great on the court, but he didn't have that fire. And like that last scene with Gates and the coach was so uncomfortable because you could tell that William Gates kind of hated him and was like, just stop talking. Just stop spouting your bullshit.
Because Gates goes, what are you going to do in school? I hope you get your degree. Like, the subtext is, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck.
It's all posturing for the camera. Yeah. You can tell he wants the camera to think he cares.
And then Gates goes, I'm going to take up communications. So when I get letters from St. Joe's, I'll know how to say no to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Request donations.
Yeah.
That was quite a brilliant response.
Oh, it was great. And then the coach, like a big dumb idiot, just goes, duh, I'm sure you won't say no. And then nobody laughs.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, he's serious. he deeply hates you in this moment.
and then to not give the other guys transcripts because like...
I understand
like that $1,800 is gonna like
the
AGs bankrupt them.
Stopped paying
yeah
exactly. I mean, I get that, you know, there are rules in place, whatever, but what really bothered me so much was how that program cut off Arthur, and then when Arthur came back senior year to visit, and the coach just turned it back on. Oh, we miss you, we wish you could have been here. Meanwhile, he was like, yeah, this kid's no good, he's not gonna make it, kick him out of the school.
Yeah. And then like that's why I like the city coach. Because when they went to him, he goes, if Arthur had performed the way they thought he was going to perform, they would have worked it out. There wouldn't have been no issue with financial.
No, it's true. And that,
it's just, that guy's the man.
I need 3 hours of that man. Yeah, that just guy. Like telling it like it is. He should be my life coach.
Oh, my God. And even when they went off to the sunset, he didn't say anything. He was like, well, now he's on his own. We'll see.
He was the Zen master.
He was. He really was.
Whole, yeah. The previous year, they were like 6-26 or something, record. He was like this. The next year, they take it downstate. He's still like this.
Yeah.
Like it didn't matter. You know, that guy was the man.
And what's crazy is that there's so many subtle things you got to pick up on this. And even I've experienced some of this in Brooklyn. I've noticed it at least. So they play the big... Like the Catholic schools, that's a whole different beast, right? They're recruiting kids like when they're 12.
Yeah.
But then they play the number one city school.
Yeah.
And it's like they have 2 7-footers. So you mean in one neighborhood, there's 2 7-footers? No, the biggest city school is recruiting, and people are coming from all over the city. When you're supposed to play for like your local high school, you know, or maybe like a school you go to for certain academic things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My local high school did that. In Brooklyn, Lincoln High School, they win the city championship, like, a lot, maybe every other year. And typically, it was only guys from Coney Island, but Coney Island is literally a mile long and 3 avenues wide. So after they win a few, now kids are coming from other parts of Brooklyn just to go to school there. And so it's elevated itself almost to, like, the Catholic school level. And it's just kind of, it's just bizarre that, like...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, academics are always second.
When they showed his public school team warming up, and one kid just casually dropped in a 360 dunk, I was like, "Oh, so they're all right? Like they're gonna do okay?" I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I thought he was getting dropped down to like this shit school, and the coach is like apparently one of the most. I don't know what he went on to after that, but like one of the highest regarded coaches in the city,
right.
Public or private, you know. So they. It was great to see that, like, that amazing turnaround. Like, the guy, if you're making this movie, you got to be like, holy shit, like, how are we this lucky that, like, things are going in a way narratively that it's dramatic. Like, Gates getting hurt when everything started off great for him, and then things start going downhill for him, and then Arthur Agee was kind of the opposite.
Arthur going to the public school and then taking that school...
further than the school that dropped him.
I mean,
if you're making that movie, you just gotta be like, well, holy shit.
Yeah,
and these guys,
it's amazing.
I don't think they had ever really made anything. They said they started it off, it was gonna be like a short film about Chicago playground ball.
That's crazy.
And then it turned into a 5-year movie that won an Oscar, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it did.
And the thing is, I haven't watched it in a while, and watching it again, you just see how, like, the adults, the mistakes they made. Like, one, the kids they're not really protected and nurtured as much as you'd like, but that's fine. But like St. Joe's, if they keep Arthur, they might go further. Like, it's just so weird that they wrote him off.
Well, he said the coach was giving him shit as a freshman. When are you going to grow? When are you going to grow? And then he clearly,
when are you gonna grow?
He got big. Like, yeah, by the end of that movie, he was a big kid. And he was a skinny little shit at the start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, he must be, when he saw him senior year, he must be like, shit, my bad. I probably should have let him stick around. Let's get into the games this week. Each week we do a couple of little questions about the movie in particular. This week, let's start it off with, so I like this one, Dwayne, because this is, it's a well-named film.
Yes.
It fits. Hoop Dreams makes sense.
Yes.
But we're going to rename it anyway because we got nothing else to do. What do you think, Dwayne?
I came up with two. My first thought was taken directly from a Biggie line. Either you're slinging rock or you got a wicked jump shot.
I like that.
And I think that's because where they live, it's rough. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, Arthur's best friend, right? He winds up going to prison, and he was
he did not have a wicked jump shot.
That kid had his head on straight, though, like, for a good chunk of the movie, and then it was like,
He had a really great haircut, too.
He did.
Oh, his haircut was dope.
So Shannon's hair was the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he dyed, like, he highlighted just
enough.
That's
that one spot?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing.
You could tell he was trouble. You're like, oh, God, this is trouble. This guy's...
And then the other, I have, I'll save it for my lessons.
All right.
Yeah, I'll save it.
What do you think, Jonesy? What's your new title for it?
My new title is Making Isaiah.
Yeah.
That is, that's a great name,
apropos.
My friend.
Yeah, that's what
it is, like this.
That's what they're trying to do, right?
And it's so, you know, just from the amount of times he brought it up in the film, you know that coach is dropping Isaiah's name at least 10 times a day.
Imagine.
He's like, well, I remember when Isaiah was here. Isaiah did this. Isaiah did that. Or not. He tried to encourage William by saying, not even Isaiah started 4 years.
Yeah,
we get it. You fucking coached Isaiah. Who really, who benefited who more there?
He says, like, you shoot. You know what? You have an outside shot better than Isaiah.
Yeah, he did say that. That's right.
You shoot. At this point in time, you're better. Like William's supposed to go, oh, my God. Like just.
It was, but you know, that was probably the 50th time he's heard Isaiah's name that day. And he was probably like, just shut the fuck
but
up.
And see, that's the thing. William had his temperament was pretty dope because I would have been like, I would have cursed that guy out.
He
so
was
many
a
times.
Much. He was definitely a calm, even keel.
Yeah.
Like both of them were fairly quieter. You know, I mean, Arthur got into some shit, but
yeah, it was just playfulness.
Mine, I don't know. I guess we could maybe work Shannon's hair into this. Because as great as it was, I think you could call this 90s fashion debacles.
Oh, my God.
Because this was just...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Dwayne Wayne glasses.
Yeah. It was loved a lot those. Going on. There was a lot.
Can we talk about one aspect of it that I still have questions about? Arthur going into the clothing store...
Yeah.
Just throws this line away. Something like, oh, the local drug dealers give us money to go buy, you know, gear.
Yep.
And then we never hear about that again.
Yep.
The parents never talk about. No one ever asks in the family, like, where'd you get all this new stuff? I'm on.
Yeah. Well, they're just like,
his mother's like, I'm making $268 a month. He's like, this doesn't come up. How does this happen? What do the drug dealers have? What is their interest in these kids wearing?
Dude, they're just hedging their bets. All basically, what they're doing is they're paying this kid to look good, wear cool shit, and if one day he gets to the NBA, he's gonna fucking owe them.
Yeah,
God only knows how many kids they're buying clothes for. It's very philanthropic.
Do the drug dealers really think that's gonna happen?
No, it does. Like,
does happen.
If you see like Allen Iverson, right? And he has an entourage.
Who actually, this guy directed Allen Iverson's 30 for 30.
Oh, wow, did he? Okay, cool. So if you see Allen Iverson and people go, he keeps a bad company. He's got to get... Yeah.
Owes everybody.
And he's like, I can't... These guys... They sponsored me.
They really do. They get to him.
Really?
And it is funny, it's though, like, how matter
of
fact.
Out with these guys? Sneakers back in 92.
Yeah.
See, like, and here's the thing. I read a little thing, which is crazy, is that... Here's the thing that we don't talk about is that most NBA players, first of all, most Division I players are white, and then most NBA players come from middle class backgrounds. So like the notion of rags to riches, it happens, like in Isaiah's case. But more and more, especially now, it's like Grant Hill, whose father played in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
Kobe Bryant,
a lot of athletes'
sons.
Whose
father played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, whose father
played
in the NBA.
I mean, granted, there's still plenty of guys coming from nothing, but I know what you mean. It's not the percentage that people think it is.
And I know a guy who's a coach, a basketball coach. I'm thinking maybe he would have been a better one for this movie, and me, you, Jonesy. But Jonesy, you're doing great. Only because he can speak to it. Only because
mid episode, he's like, "Well, this was a mistake." But like,
I'm sorry, Jonesy.
Can't compete with a basketball coach.
No.
I got a friend that plays minor league ball. That would have been
no, but this guy's an Olympiad, but not in basketball. And basically, he makes his living. Good friend of mine. Like, people with, you know, enough money, they have, like, an eighth grader.
Yeah.
And they just want him or her to get a scholarship. And they hire this guy. And he just works on their game.
Yeah.
Like, so the notion that it's, like, William had an opportunity, and whether he took it or not. But for the most part, like, it's the William, the Catholic school, like, that system is going to produce something more than just some guy from the streets. Like, it happens,
I wonder how many guys
it takes resources.
In the end, a bunch of guys are getting closed. These are great drug dealers. They're very, very nice. Yeah. In the end, they're not getting anything back.
No, like, but you know, it's a cycle. Because, like, you remember Antoine Walker, who I think from Chicago.
Yeah.
Played for the Celtics. I think he might be broke. I remember he came back and played when it was like it was over, but he was still playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's always a sign.
Yeah.
But he actually got robbed at gunpoint at his house. I would like to think, I wouldn't like to think anything, but I'm saying it feels like that's that same system. So it's like either he didn't give to them or they were like, sorry, we have to rob you to sponsor the new kids.
There's a lot of guys too who, you know, if they don't make it, then the neighborhood guys are coming back around and saying, hey, I took care of you. You should come.
Yeah, maybe
work
Shannon
for me
has
and
to,
shit. So, you know.
Yeah.
Let's go on to make a drinking game out of it. Every time something in particular happens, I'll lead it off. For me, take a drink every time Arthur Agee Sr. is shirtless.
That's great.
Man hates shirts.
That is great.
It's a 3-hour movie, and I think he wears two shirts.
He doesn't have a no-shirt body by any means.
Oh, no. He's in great. He's skinny.
He's skinny, but it's but a shirt body.
Why is he skinny? I mean, he's doing crack for a large portion of the movie.
But he never lost his jump shot, which I think is impressive.
Yeah, he was making it rain at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I would say every time you see a big-time coach or an NBA player, because that...
Oh, yeah, they do show a lot of that.
That gives
Nike All-American
to the whole thing. Like, you look up and it's like Coach K or Jalen Rose. You're like, man, this is... They were in the system.
Yeah,
all the
Fab Five guys were in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of them are, right? What do you think, Jonesy?
I actually had the same one that you had.
Oh, is that right?
Every time you see Arthur's
shirtless
dad, shirtless. Yeah, I thought that was great. But I'm going to pick another one on the fly. Every time William took the ACT...
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
What do you take, like 20 times?
Five or six times.
You didn't get a good buzz going on.
Drink every time he takes the ACT.
Which what was crazy to me, though, that he struggled so much because he seemed, when he went to St. Joe's, to right away, like, get everything. And he seemed
Whereas
more...
Arthur, clearly the academics was going to be a problem for Arthur. Well, but it looked like William really started applying himself.
Yeah,
and I was like,
and he seemed initially like he was the smarter of the two. But then it really started to seem like Arthur's actually... Very smart, but just doesn't give a shit.
I think, when Gates hurt his leg, I think it was like,
he did say that his school started slipping, but it just surprised me that like a guy who caught on that quickly. They said he came into high school at St. Joe's at like a fifth grade level,
and then he caught up,
and then immediately caught up before the year was over, and then he can't pass the ACT. That was surprising to me. But then again, I don't fucking even know what the ACT is comprised.
Yeah, we only take the SAT.
Yeah.
In the East.
Let's see. Which one do we do here? Dwayne, what do you think? They're your questions. You want to do which? The exploitative sports?
I have good answers for all. I want to pitch the sequel just because I think what
happened
was pretty silly.
You said there is a sequel. Is there really?
No, there was like they were trying to work on a follow-up, but I mean just your own thing, whatever you want to happen.
No, yeah, I was just curious because I didn't know there was, and I would like to see that if there is. But I think this should have a sequel. It's like they're 20 years later, right? Just over 20 years.
My sequel wouldn't take place 20 years later. It would just be like maybe 4 or 5 years later. And they would both be playing in the pro Italian league at this point.
I love that.
On different teams.
That's great.
And
it's a living.
They would meet each other in the finals and play a triple overtime game. And Arthur's team would win the... La Liga, whatever they call it.
If you guys could see the little European,
the Italian, the
if you could see the European shoulder shimmy Dwayne just did when he said La Liga,
whatever
you would be super offended.
Whatever they call it, no, you really would be. It was really bad. But they and this happens like their first or second year, and neither speaks even a lick of Italian. So like the coach, it's all just figures and numbers, and but they have one young kid from America. Who's their interpreter? And they take him under their wing, and he's a player, and he helps them out. And that kid is one Kobe Bryant.
Oh, shit.
Look at that.
It all comes full circle. Although, wasn't Kobe Bryant in the league like 3 years after this movie came out?
Listen. Come on.
Sorry, Dwayne. I don't want to poke holes in your sequel. Yeah. I like it. It wasn't 3 years. I'm exaggerating. That's interesting, though. I would love to see. I don't know that. Somebody had to have made a documentary, but just the experience of like guys who were like really great college players and then who don't make it and
haven't seen that documentary
playing in overseas, because that's like a really, not to use a ridiculously dumb word for it, but it's a very foreign thing to me. Right. It's like the overseas NBA equivalent of the NBA. I would like to see like what guys experience.
Did you guys see the Chinese slam dunk?
Yes.
Competition?
No.
Well, I saw the one where the guy fell on his face and Stephon Marbury laughed at him.
This one Chinese guy tried to jump over some guys.
Like five guys.
And he didn't even clear the first guy.
It was a bad attempt.
And we're not saying that all Chinese people would have met with the same fate, just this one guy. But anyway, Stephon Marbury is playing over there. And he just was laughing
like,
his ass
off. Oh, get off his back, Starberry. You're like 50, and you had like a public breakdown 3 years ago. Don't be a dick. Where are you? Like, he was like eating Vaseline and crying on his webcam three years ago.
Oh, that's right. I remember that video. Yeah.
But he...
That was really weird.
Fucking crazy.
But he's won a championship over there. Wow. I don't know. So he's
so now he can laugh.
He's got a ring.
What do you think, Jonesy? What's your sequel, man?
I didn't know if you wanted like a serious sequel or
whatever.
A comedy thing. I came up with a comedy idea.
Absolutely.
William and Arthur, in a sort of reality environment, they compete to win the GM job for Isaiah Thomas's new smoothie company. And so they're battling and they're taking tests and they're fetching coffee, and William at one point burns his hand really badly getting coffee, and so he has to overcome that. And
does Isaiah have a smoothie company?
I don't know, but he should. You were going to say for Isaiah Thomas's New York Knicks, and I was going to be like,
that's what he should be running.
That's a more lucrative GM position.
He can't be involved in office shenanigans. I don't know. I just thought smoothie company for Isaiah.
I like it.
That is tremendous.
Mine is taken from one of the last lines. One of my favorite parts about Arthur was you couldn't ever tell if he was fucking with the camera people, like as he got older and got more of a sense of humor. Every adult, it always seemed like he might have been messing with them a little bit. Every single time towards the end where a college advisor asked him what he wanted to do, he said a different job.
He
would just quickly say a different job. And the last one he says is when the cameraman asks him, or I assume the director asks him, and he says, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe I'll either be a comedian or an architect. And I was like, that is the fucking best answer to that question. So I want the sequel to be about his life as a comedian / architect. It's called Joke Structure, starring Arthur Agee.
Yes.
I would love to see that movie.
I couldn't even believe that he had said that. I backed it up.
I had to rewind it.
Did he really say comedian in it?
So flippant, too. Like, I don't know, comedian or architect. As though he said them as though they were related in some way. Oh, it was the best. I loved it. That was my favorite line.
He was the real genius.
He was a funny kid.
He had a great finger roll, too. He didn't dunk too much, but his finger roll was sweet.
Yeah, he could get up. By the end of that movie, he could get up, man. And he was, he did. He went to the hoop. It was impressive. I guess that about does it. That's it for Hoop Dreams. Jonesy, thanks so much for being here, man.
Sure, no problem. It was a joy. I liked that movie a lot.
Great. Good. We're glad you could be here. Anything you want to promote in particular? Twitter, anything like that? Oh, all that garbage.
You can follow me on Funny Jones. Instagram is also Funny Jones. YouTube is also Funny Jones, just one word. And my website's jonesy.com.
Not Funny Jones. My website is not Funny Jones.
I own that domain as well. Yeah. It just goes to jonesy.com.
Right.
You could do funnyjones.com.
Just Google Funny Jones. You'll find it.
And, Twitter handle is FunnyDP. The Facebook is Dwayne Perkins. The website is DwaynePerkins.com. The book is Hot Chocolate for the Mind. Holla at your boy.
Dwayne is in every different medium. The book is, the magazine is. There's posters of Dwayne. You can get it all. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter. Check out Warp Zone Comedy at the Virgil the last Tuesday of every month in LA. And if you're in Atlanta at the end of March, I'll be there for the Laughing Skull Festival, so check that out.
Oh, no. I think we're out of time. Yeah. We're talking about
Jonesy. Yeah. That it was an interesting question. Jonesy wanted to squeeze in that last question, but we kind of ran over. So maybe next time we'll get that in.
Yeah.
Least exploitative sport. Bowling. I'm just going to put that out there.
I said lacrosse.
Whatever a bunch of white people do.
Right.
That's the answer. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Jonesy, thanks again for being here, man.
Thank you for having me.
Tune in next week, guys.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.